This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. It is our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Man, we're good. It sounds like it's been a really hectic 17 hours or so.
Things are flying around, right?
Yeah, just
coming
like...
Coming and going and maybe coming and maybe going.
Do you think they're flying around more than Cowboys players pushing Rams people out of the way?
What an idiot. Huh?
I'm with you.
I'm right there with you.
I mean, you guys saw the video?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I you know, there's one thing, practicing hard, one-on-ones and stuff like that. But to do that, and the guy wasn't in the way where he had to do that, you know, and they took him off the field.
So yeah.
We'll see if they're taking him off the team. We'll find out.
Do you get that sense at all?
If they have to make another move, and look what they've done, they brought in – you know, they're bringing in a defensive tackle. They're bringing in a defensive end. They made corresponding moves, but if there's another move you have to make, and they, you know, signed another offensive lineman, and that was before Earl Bostic suffered his ankle injury and had to be helped off the field. It looked bad. They may need to sign the other guy. They worked out two guys. They signed Cole Cabral. They also worked out a guard, Drew Samia. Who knows? They might say, hey, whoa, don't go to the airport. Come back. So we need to see what happens with that today.
Now, I know frequently you will tell us, especially as we get closer to the season or perhaps in season, this guy was available either free agency or trade for a reason. But
yeah.
I do appreciate that with the signing of Carl Lawson and the trade for Jordan Phillips, it does seem like the Cowboys are like, hey, you know what? Maybe we do need to tinker a little bit. Maybe we do need to try to upgrade or build depth a little bit.
Well, I don't know if it's upgrading, building depth. They needed bodies because of the amount of guys that, you know, were hurt and not practicing. And they needed some experience, too, by the way. Now, you got to remember with Lawson, he worked out with those other guys, and they decided not to sign him. And I had heard he was sort of a pain in the ass. So we'll see what happens.
That sounds fun.
And how do you do that when you don't have a job, right?
I mean, that's a good point.
Are who you are, Mickey.
Yeah, it's like you go for a job interview and, you know, and you don't act right. And so we'll see, you know, what he can bring. But, you know, he's been pretty productive a couple of years ago. And then, you know, last year basically got benched. And really, only, I think if I remember doing my homework on him when he was coming in, he only played like six games. So he had an early injury, but then he got beat out. So, yeah, we'll see where that one goes. At least we recognize his name, right?
Yes.
That's the best I can say for him right now.
Now, what did you think about, or have you ever been asked about this? George Kittle pointing out that he did not love the media members for the 49ers and their shoe game. Have you ever tried to up your shoe game because you were shamed by somebody in the Cowboys organization?
Shoes, like what you wear?
On your feet, yeah.
I'm sorry, Mickey, did you just ask what a shoe is?
Well, I didn't know if you meant shooing somebody away, you know?
No, shoe as in what's on your feet.
Yeah.
Your kicks. You know what? I've probably been made fun of some things, but probably not for my shoes.
Okay.
And I'm not one of those shoe guys that, you know, go out of my way. I mean, I wear tennis shoes. That's it.
Who is the DallasCowboys.com shoe person?
Ooh.
Oh, that's a good question.
All right. There you go. That's your work
that
for
my,
tomorrow. Yeah.
Yes. Although I did get a compliment for a new pair of tennis shoes that I got. So from one of the people on the staff. So,
do we get any more information, or are you just going to say they're
no,
tennis shoes?
I don't know. They're just a pair of, you know, pair of tennis shoes that I needed, since my other ones seemed like I was walking on cement, you know, and now I got a little cushion.
The way you describe this, though, Mickey, it sounds like you buy a plain white box that says shoes on it or tennis shoes, and you're like, I'll take one tennis shoes, please.
Actually, I didn't. I'd never. Well, I've done this before. I bought them online just looking on the internet, you know.
And said, that's a scary venture because you don't know if they're going to fit.
Yeah, and although with my foot, I know the size and I know they have to be narrow, and so, yeah, I'm able to do that.
All right, can you tell me a little bit about Diggs' day yesterday?
Yeah, he had a nice day. Obviously, I was watching the offense most of the day. I was trying to zero in on those offensive linemen, see how the young guys were doing. But I was sort of in the end zone in the middle, and I saw him. The ball was in the air. I saw him break, and it was just a typical Diggs interception. His length, his long arms, and undercut the pass and made a nice pick. Now, that one. Now that's the one I saw. I think the official said he landed. It didn't get both feet in bounds, but to me it was a pick. I don't know if he had another one or not, because I was keeping a close eye on Tyler Guyton and Cooper Beebe during the scrimmage with the Rams. And that was another, you know, they talked about what happened on the defense. Things got heated. Well, there was a pretty good one-on-one going the whole practice with Guyton and Jared Verse, the Rams' first-round draft choice. They list him as a linebacker. I think he's a linebacker in a 3-4. He could play defensive end, and he's pretty mouthy. And they were going at it the entire day, especially in some of the one-on-one pass rush drills. As a matter of fact, Verse was giving, who was the guy, another offensive lineman, crap after he false started in front of him. And it was loud. It's like we could hear it. And Guyton went in and tapped the guy out and said, let me take care of this.
Oh,
how about that?
I like it.
And I heard,
go ahead.
I heard Steven was pumped because they talked about how much they loved Verse and said if Guyton can block him, he's going to be able to hang with most people.
And it wasn't, it wasn't perfect. Verse won some, but there were two in a row that he pancaked him. I mean, put him on his back on top of him, and I was like, oh, this guy's got a little something in his veins, right? In the one-on-ones, he stoned him two snaps in a row, and this thing continued during the team practice and everything, and I thought Guyton held his own. I thought Beebe, working with the first team in pads for the first time, he'd got snaps before, but this was a consistent practice working with the first, and I thought he held his own too. I saw one time, and this is what impressed me when I was watching his tape after the draft, where he's playing guard and he would take on the defensive tackle, take care of him, and then move to the linebacker or move to the safety, right? Well, he had a snap where he helped double the tackle to his right, and then he moved and got the linebacker. And I said, okay, that's pretty impressive. I think he had maybe one bad snap or so. I think he was anxious.
I was going to ask that, yeah.
Yeah, he was anxious, I think, because he'd been snapping the ball just fine. But I think he got in a hurry, and there was a bad snap or two. But from a blocking standpoint, he held his own. So that'll be an interesting competition going forward with Brock Hoffman. They just wanted to see what he can do. And, you know, you got to get these young guys out there and get them snaps. And you know, you got to move forward. Now, Hoffman's a young guy too. From Guyton's standpoint, I mean, that's what they needed to happen all along. You know, I think Chuma was just kind of biding his time before he ended up getting beat out by Guyton. And so when he gets hurt like that, it's time to go, Guyton. You got to do the job. And I thought he had a pretty good day. And they had him somewhat on a pitch count just because he had been missing, four practices the week before with that chest cold. But he came out and he was aggressive. Now, and again, he wasn't perfect. He got beat a couple times, but he won more than he got beat. So that was a good sign there going forward.
Have you heard any updates, or do we know anything more about Damone Clark or Overshown? Because I know Clark didn't practice yesterday, and Overshown left practice early with, I think it was a hip pointer.
He had a hip pointer, you're right. And Clark had a sore knee, so we'll see where that one goes. But yeah, it's kind of that time in training camp where the injuries start kind of piling up. They ended up Nate Thomas, the rookie offensive lineman, wasn't practicing. Hendershot didn't have his pads on again. The good news was Deuce Vaughn was back in practice, Royce Freeman, and Israel Mukwamu, who, you know, he can't afford to be missing much more, you know, and he might have saw that his buddy Nashawn Wright got traded and it was like, whoa, I better get back out there somehow, because, you know, if they're looking at him as a safety, well, he's number five right now. If you look at the starters, and then Wanye Thomas and Marquise Bell are playing really well. So that's four right there. If they keep five, you know, he's got to get going. So there's a bunch of guys, I think, in that situation, you know, on the offensive line with Matt Lewelesko and Josh Ball. Now they're going to, you know, they were going to get some snaps just because Guyton couldn't take everything. Bostic gets hurt. I think at one point they moved Josh Ball from guard to center. I mean, to tackle, excuse me. Have healthy bodies to get through all this. So they got another padded practice today, and then, you know, basically it's a walkthrough on Friday and the game on Saturday, a day off on Sunday. So we'll see if some of these guys with the nicks and bruises can get back on the field. But that's one of the reasons why you see them making some of the moves they did. They just need healthy bodies out there to be able to practice and not wear out their starters. And not, you know, and the other thing, guys, is if you're not going to play your starters in the game that much, then, you know, you need other bodies to get out there. So, and the other thing I thought is, you know, Mozzie Smith got in a little bit of skirmish.
To see that right fire, now, right?
He's got some blood in his veins, you know? I want to see that. the deal for Jordan Phillips is, okay, you got Mozzie, but who's behind him?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, Albert Huggins, who knows what they do with
I think we might goofball. Know, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, and then the rest of the guys trying to play that position, you know, they had Shaka Tony there and they got rid of him. He wasn't here very long. So, you know, Denzel, I keep messing up how to say his name, Denzel Daxon, you know, he's an undrafted free agent. You know, the other guy that they just had youth behind Mozzie, and Mozzie's only in his second year, right?
So yeah.
They need some people, and they had tried Fihoko and Golston there, and then they decided, well, I think those guys are defensive ends. They're really not defensive tackles. So Carl Davis, it looks like they're going to depart with him. So they didn't really have much depth at the defensive tackle spot. You know, you had Osa, and then what? So it's funny. We were just talking the other day about what positions, you know, do you think they need help at? And my answer was, well, defensive tackle, defensive end, and probably now offensive tackle, because you need a backup swing tackle. You know, who is that guy with Guyton starting? Chuma doesn't look like he's going to be here. You know, probably IR either now or after the first day of the 53. They got to find a backup swing tackle. But they signed, the guys they brought in were center guards. So we'll see what happens there.
Appreciate that, Mick, you're a wealth of information.
Did we cover it all? I was looking at my notes here to see if we forgot anything.
Crushed it.
That was an amazing sentence right there. All right, we'll catch up with you again tomorrow, good sir.
All right, we'll see what happens.
There you go, Mickey Spagnuolo right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're going to switch it up just a little bit. Masterpiece Theater, what is the most complex TV show you ever watched? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
All right, guys, let's talk about Men's Tea Clinic. If you're lacking that focus, that energy, that drive, that
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we're going to change it up a little bit, do some Masterpiece Theater. What is the most complex TV show you have ever watched?
Welcome to another edition of Masterpiece Theater, where we discuss theater with you. And now, two guys who know absolutely nothing about theater, Corey and Kevin.
Now, I was
Mike and Reggie.
I was worried for now. I was worried that people wouldn't know the show that I was going to throw out there. But I've already seen it from multiple 214s and then another one from the 972. If you could play cut number 10, even finding this clip from the trailer was complicated.
The past doesn't just influence the future. The future also influences the past. Tick-tock, tick-tock.
It's a show called Dark. It is a German, I guess, science fiction show that I caught on Netflix, and they really want me to watch it again. And they're like, remember how much you love this show? And I was like, I do. My wife never watched it. And she goes, do you think I would like it? And I'm like, it is the most complicated show I've ever watched in the history of my life. And so I was thinking about it from that perspective. What is the most complex show you ever watched? Especially if you like stuck with it. Because I could see how you're like, nope, I'm out. This is too complicated.
Yeah, I guess the one that I just gave up on very quickly, and I probably, everybody says I shouldn't have, is Severance.
Yes.
I was watching, and I was just like, I can't do this. It just,
it
I needed a little
get
more
less
real,
complicated.
Yeah, I needed a little more real humor to it or something that existed, and it just wasn't providing it for me. But the one that Adrian and I have always agreed is Game of Thrones.
Good
and
answer.
Here's the reason why.
Good answer.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I didn't know who was who most of the time. They'd say, if they said a name, I'd be like, I don't know. It's one of those people. If it wasn't a Baratheon or a Targaryen, I didn't know who it was.
Yeah, now you got to know lineages, yeah, and you got to know houses, and now you got to know the geopolitics, yes, of this fantasy land. Yeah, like, what is happening here?
I didn't understand the map. That's why I like Jon Snow, because that was an easy name, as opposed to, oh, is it Tyrion?
Yeah.
Or is it Tywin? And you're like, one of them, they're very different.
House of Dragon gets even more, because there's like Balon and Bela and Laena and Laenor. And
that,
like,
being said,
what is happening right now?
I am watching
a season finale where nothing happened.
Correct.
Bold decision.
Which somebody said was great. And I was like, you're an idiot. And I have started watching that, and I enjoy it. The same way I enjoyed Game of Thrones, where I didn't try to like put the map together or put all the things together. I just went,
yeah,
I'm just going to enjoy watching the dragons and the stabbings and the stuff like that.
It is very rich if you do know that stuff, though, I will say.
Okay.
But you don't have to.
But you feel like you need, like, I'm going to go with a compendium while you're watching the show. So you're like, hold on.
Like a legend?
Let me check my map.
A host,
yeah,
you said?
Yeah.
A compendium.
A compendium. I think I'm going to go with that.
A compendium.
Isn't that when you, like, own an apartment?
Is that a condominium? I don't. I'm going to stick with what I said.
But yeah, that's the one. That's the one that I'll roll out there right now, as I just thought it was difficult. Somebody said Westworld. And Westworld, to me, always felt like they started it and thought, this is a cool idea. And then they kept writing episodes after each episode. They were like, I don't know, throw this out there.
Okay. If you watch,
felt like there was no plan.
If you've never seen Westworld, here's my recommendation. Watch the first season. It's awesome. And
stop
then move
that
on with your life. Because season,
I did. I stopped after season 3 or 2 or something.
There are moments in season 2 through 4, but they're very frustrating. And then finally, they're like, you know what? we're going to get this all back in place for season 5. We're going to wrap it up. And then HBO said, hey, good job. Guess what? Instead,
canceled.
And so watch season 1 of Westworld and then move on with your life.
Yeah, it's probably a good approach to that.
Did you ever watch a show called Wilfred? It was on FX.
With, is that the Frodo show?
It's
Elijah
not.
Wood. I couldn't think of his name. Elijah I'm sorry. Wood, yes. I couldn't think of his name.
And I mean, I think the reason why it was really good is because, and I'm not sure if I'm spoiling anything here, so just take that with a grain of salt. Shows with unreliable narrators end up in that place. And so Wilfred is definitely one of those for me where it was like, oh, wow, yeah, there's kind of like that level of difficulty in it, keeping track what's real, what's not, what am I seeing and what's intended for me to understand from it.
I've never thought of the unreliable narrator before. I never thought about it that way, but it
plays a very prominent part in like the most recent Joker movie, and like you see it. You can make that argument for Euphoria. There's a lot of different areas where that comes into play.
Adrian had a hard time watching Peaky Blinders because of the accents.
Okay, because that's on my
just
list.
Just the accents,
but I haven't started it yet.
She said she just didn't understand what they were saying because of the accents. That being said, I just kind of watch more of their actions and how they approach things, and that kind of helped me navigate that. And just like anything, once you submerge yourself into it a little bit, that's when you kind of start to pick up on it a little better, I think. Like, if you went and lived in Mexico, you could learn Spanish a lot faster by living
that
there and doing that and hearing it. So,
Mike, do you have a show like this? Because you...
Well, I did watch Game of Thrones,
okay.
And that's very complex. I decided, like, House of Dragons, I'm like, I've had enough. Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm done with
it. I watched
a
couple episodes and it rehooked me. I was like, okay, I like
one
it.
One that I think is now complex and also super confusing, which I quit on, which I loved forever, is Star Wars. Disney has now added
now that they've
so
moved
many
into the shows,
characters and so many Jedis, and you're just like, I feel like you've ruined it.
Okay.
Now, you could say it's complex because I think you have to really now dig
the world
in the whole Star Wars to be like, oh my gosh, like, how many Jedi were there after Anakin turned into Darth Vader?
Yeah.
Because I thought he killed most of them, except for his two kids.
Spoiler.
But you're like, no, there were literally hundreds, if not thousands, of Jedi spread across the galaxy. And he had these five people. I forget the name of them. They had the twirling thing.
Knights of Ren.
Yeah, they were all trying to kill all the Jedi, and they were getting successful, but there were still hundreds of them around. And I just like... I'm like, I quit. Too complex.
From the 469, I saw this one pop up a couple of times. House of Cards was super complicated.
Yeah, anything that now, once you get into politics again, like now having to figure out what the intrigue is there. Yeah. House of Cards, definitely one of those.
From the 214, because I did watch the show and I frequently thought, this is a beautiful looking show and elements of it I love, but also sometimes I don't understand what's happening. Legion... FX.
I watched a few episodes of it. I liked it. I didn't dive in long enough on it.
And then from the 469, and this is why I wanted to say complex as opposed to complicated. Some people might be like, because I think of Game of Thrones as complex in terms of all the different character names and everything. It's not the most complicated story
in the
world.
Yeah, you kind of need like a compendium or something.
Yes. Okay, see? You get it. I hope you look that word up. Is The Wire. Because
love it.
That's another one where I don't think the story is too confusing, but there is like, hey, you got to watch this person and this person and this person and this person. And like, it is not a look away show.
No.
You know?
No, yeah. It is a watch show for sure.
That is
watch and rewatch, because there's a lot of richness to it. Like, there's complexity to it. There's depth to it where you have to do a little bit of analysis. You might need to have something that you read along with it.
I already told you what it is. It's a compendium.
Yeah.
If anyone was going to get this, I would have thought it was you.
I still think you're saying pendulum. I don't understand what's happening.
I'm not swinging back
and forth. I thought you said companion.
A companion would help for the show, wouldn't it?
Companion.
Yeah, like a little companion.
Oh, Reggie, have you ever watched The Wire with a significant other?
No, actually, now that I think about it.
Okay.
Do you plan on watching The Wire in the future with a significant other?
Sure, but I also feel like, don't you hate it when you recommend a show and then you're watching with them, with somebody, and now you're watching them more than you're watching the show?
Because they're looking at their phone and you're like,
I need to know. Well, yes, there's that. And you're like, why are you not paying attention? But then also you're like, I'm waiting for you. This is the good part. Did you like it? Did you like the good part?
You need to see this part. Why are you looking at your phone?
I did not realize, to Corey's point, how passive aggressive I watch shows that I love with Jess until... Part of it's Jess's fault because she tries to pull things out of thin air as if she saw what happened. And I was like, oh, I'll look over and she's staring at her phone. So I'll pause and I'll be like, oh, what did you think about that? She goes, yeah, it was. And I was like, what just happened?
And you know what? Three episodes from now, she's going to be like, why did this happen?
Yes.
And you're like, because in three episodes ago, this happened and it set it up and you were looking at your phone.
I just need her to admit that she missed it, because here's what happened. It'll be like a major... plot point. Like, let's say Wallace got shot. And I would ask her, hey, what did you think about that? And she'll be like, oh, which part?
And they're gonna miss that rebounding defensive threat.
Different Wallace. And
which Wallace do you think he was talking about right there?
And so she would like go, oh, do you mean that dialogue where he said, let's go to the McDonald's? And I'm like, no, the thing that just happened. And she goes, oh, sure, I saw that. And I'm like, no, you didn't. Because when I stopped and go, what did you think about that? You didn't go, that was crazy, or why did that happen? She was like, oh, at the McDonald's? And I'm like, just admit it. Admit you weren't paying attention, and we'll just move on.
And then all of you, both of you think to yourselves, boy, am I having fun watching TV right now.
It's true. Sometimes, but she wants to watch things together. Sometimes I wish she'd be like, I don't think I can handle watching that with you. And I'd be like, that is fair.
And yes, from the 817, Darth Vader did have two kids.
Somebody argue against that?
They were like, wait, Darth Vader had two kids?
That's still a pretty big part of the story. Because
they also, they too, were spoiled.
Luke and Leia, made out in the second one.
They did.
One of them goes on to be in the finals against Boston with Kyrie.
No, that's Luke. And then later, Leia
said.
And
then he had a layup.
I knew. I always knew.
Luke's layup.
Don't be proud of that. Don't be proud of that.
For the 214, this is a good one. Man in the High Castle. I don't know if y'all ever watch it.
I watched that.
It can be slow at points.
I quit. I was like,
one episode.
Did we ever turn back to getting out?
We did it.
Who turned it?
It's been a while since I've seen it. I don't remember.
How long were we under German control?
It was a while. And Japanese control. I always thought Japanese part was more fascinating.
Because the West Coast was Japanese. Yeah. And the middle and East Coast was under German control.
Yes, exactly. So essentially that's the show where they were on this alternate timeline where...
We lost World War II.
Exactly. Now, there are multiple people, Corey, for whatever it's worth, on the fan text,
lost.
On the Twitch, saying lost.
Yeah.
That was tough. It's because they ran out of ideas. They ran out of ideas and didn't know how to wrap the show up. And they were like, well, let's go. Something's in this hatch.
Do you think Lost is better now that you can? It's binge worthy?
100 million percent.
That's how
I think you could watch it backwards and it'd be more fulfilling for you?
Oh, man.
Backwards?
Yeah, because, I mean, the entirety of the show kind of operates in a way where, at least my understanding of it from people that actually watched it, because what was I going to do? Watch that show? They were like, every episode, instead of answering questions, raises more questions.
That is true.
And so I feel like, in theory, if you work backwards, you're getting questions answered. Is that how that works?
Yeah.
But I'm probably not going to understand the dialogue if I'm watching it in reverse.
But at least...
Not quite what I meant, but okay.
At least you won't be as bothered about, where did the smoke monster? Why is there a polar bear there?
Valid. That is valid.
But I remember once, Corey, when you were binging it, I felt like you said, yeah, it moves really quickly. And I was like, what are you saying?
Because I was binging it. And that's whenever I had to watch discs.
Yeah.
From Netflix back then. So yeah, that it was moving quickly. I was like, man, this is good.
So Jess had never seen it. We rewatched it together. And when you can just go next.
Instead of having to wait each week.
I thought it was fantastic. And I think this could be a controversial opinion for some. Still think the final episode of Lost is one of the best final episodes ever for TV. You didn't get to find out where the polar bear came from. Get over it.
Stupid opinion.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3
The
Fan.
On the boat with the tiger and the orangutan.
What book is that?
Are you talking about Noah's Ark?
No, it's a
Life
book.
Life of Pi?
Life of Pi. Thank you. Woo!
Coming up next.
Nice.
All the animals were murdering each other.
It's time.
But it was really his parents.
What?
Oh, you didn't know that?
Like, that was a real spoiler. Oh, wow.
Time for Gridiron Gravy.
Who is the Tiger?
Could this NFC East player be prepped for a career year? Next on The Fan.
Taylor over center. Play fake, back to throw. Steps up, dumps it underneath, completes it to Barkley, runs out of a tackle. He's to the 10, he's to the 5, he's in for the touchdown. Saquon from 32 yards out. And the Giants take the lead 13-0.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, let's go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy. Now, we start with, we talked about that Cowboys-Rams joint practice. Another thing coming out of that is Matthew Stafford left practice with a hamstring injury, or excuse me, a hamstring issue. Now, you could probably make the argument you're using an abundance of caution at this time of year.
He's old.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He is 36.
That's got to make you like a little nervous if you're the Rams, right? Or are you just like, not really, because he was like, I'll be fine. I need to be done for the day.
Dude, he's played a lot of years.
He has.
We're at 15 years in the NFL, man. Going on 16 right now. This is a lot of years for an old guy.
He's at Highland Park with Kershaw.
Yeah.
Look where Kershaw's at in his career.
Yeah.
About to fall apart.
Well, he kind of already has.
I mean, he's falling apart.
Don't Maybe worry. If he's hurt, Stetson Bennett will play.
Yeah. Awesome. Remember, here's a reminder from our stat of the day yesterday or the day before. No team had more than one interception in the first preseason game, with the exception of the Cowboys, who had four.
Yeah, that's your question.
Bennett throws a very catchable ball.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Who won that game?
The Rams did.
Why?
Because Stetson Bennett led them on that touchdown run.
When it was time to make a big play, he made all of them.
He's only a big-time player.
When it matters.
I'll wait.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Maybe that is.
He's going to knock on the door for somebody.
Yeah. Maybe that is the case.
He's right. Eli Manning.
So you predicting he might win 2 Super Bowls?
Eli did. Well, he said when it matters. Like, you can play. Yeah. Like, Eli maybe didn't play very good for a lot of games.
That's true.
A lot of the plays in those that games. Is,
then in the end, he'd win a playoff game here and then win a Super Bowl there.
Yeah. That is very true. Now, we've been talking about the Cowboys, obviously, a lot today, but the Patriots also made a trade. They traded Matthew Judon to the Falcons for a third-round draft pick. Now, I don't believe this is going to happen because we all have seen the problems with Hassan Reddick and the Jets. But theoretically, the Falcons could be like, yeah, we're not going to give you a new deal, and we could see this exact same thing all over again. I don't believe that will happen.
Actually, I'm pretty sure that there's already been reporting that he'll play out this season on this contract.
Oh, he will?
Yeah, that he said that he will.
Okay. Wow, I bet the Patriots are like, oh, well, thanks a lot for not doing that for us.
But I imagine that there's probably some level of, I don't know, wink, wink, nod, nod agreement that they'll have.
That is a very fair point, but this feels like a heck of a move for a third round pick. So good job, Falcons.
Yeah,
or at least I think good job.
I think that's a win for both sides, actually.
I can see that.
Very, very good win for both sides, as one's going in a different direction and the other one is looking for what he provides.
And if you're the Patriots, who the hell cares about this year, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
You got to go get your quarterback.
Imagine Jared Mayo cares about this year.
You just drafted that quarterback and you're like, oh man, he's not good. Because he went to UNC, like
I
Mike
mean,
said.
But they think their sixth-round quarterback might be good, right? So maybe that's what they're focused on. All right, I was looking at offensive player of the year betting odds, and one of the names that's pretty high up here, number
Steve.
No,
hell
no,
yeah, Reggie.
Incorrect.
Thank you.
No, terrible job.
Okay.
I'm
you should move
you.
To Houston.
You should.
I'm glad that we can say that
you
now.
You should have your own show.
Yes.
In Houston.
Agreed. Saquon Barkley is number 6 on the list. What do you think about the idea that Saquon Barkley could be revitalized by the move and have a career year?
Absolutely, he will. He's got I think this is going to be a tough season for Cowboys fans to deal with him. They know how to run the ball up. I guess Kellen Moore.
He'll miss 5 games.
Yeah. That's the thing that I was going to add to it. He's going to get injured. It happens. He was used a lot at Penn State, a lot in New York, but I think he still has plenty left to go along with it. He'll get injured at some point. I'm very interested to see how Kellen Moore uses him, though, because Kellen Moore always wanted a back that he could use out of the backfield passing, that could catch downfield, and Barkley absolutely can do that for you.
Now, these numbers are going to be really high, but if I saw career year, I'm thinking 1,300 yards rushing, 700 yards receiving. So 2,000 all per big year. Okay.
Yeah. You'd have to be healthy for,
exactly,
I'd say, at least 15 games.
So you think probably not those numbers, more of when he plays, he will be effective.
Yeah.
How much are they going to miss Kelce in this? Because I sometimes we talk about the player Barkley, but Kelce's not there.
Yeah, they feel pretty good about their replacement there, but you might be right
about it.
Yeah.
But once we see, like, he was one of the three best centers the last 10 years in the NFL.
Yeah. Right. No, it's going to be a big factor there for sure. And Kellen Moore's proven that whenever he doesn't have offensive linemen to do the work, he can't get blocking downfield.
Somebody jumped in and said, I'm betting on Derrick Henry. He could have 20 touchdowns in this Baltimore offense. If you think that's the case, Derrick Henry is 40-1 right now for Offensive Player of the Year. I definitely think that's worth a look at those odds. Yes, sir.
Where's Zeke?
I saw on RB1's, I think it was Maurice Jones-Drew's running back ones list for fantasy football, he's 25th.
That's not right.
Well, he's also, four spots ahead of Tony Pollard, who is 29th on Maurice Jones-Drew's list of RB1's.
Okay, I don't see Zeke all the way down to 150-1. So,
hey, BB, I heard they're combo blocking, opening up holes.
Hey, that is
all
a reality.
All Zeke has to do is run through it.
That is a reality that Biotic, for whatever reason, he could block the guy in front of him sometimes, but he couldn't block that guy and move up to the next level. And that's where you get 8 yards instead of two.
Are you guys going to be frustrated if they do their job and you see that he's not touched for 4 yards,
yes,
but then he does get touched and then it's a 5-yard gain?
Yes, I will absolutely be frustrated by that. It probably won't surprise you to know that Tyreek Hill and Christian McCaffrey are co-favorites for Offensive Player of the Year. CeeDee Lamb, third on the list. Another tough blow.
Is he going to play?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm so afraid that the Cowboys might not sign
him. What you guys said, an overreaction to reality.
I'm just so afraid.
All right. Bills Pro Bowl linebacker Matt Milano, per Adam Schefter, tore his bicep yesterday. I guess there's no T at the end of that. He tore his bicep yesterday. He will undergo surgery with the hope of returning in December. Now, we've already talked about how many player losses the Bills have had due to the salary cap, and now they lose one of their starters. Whew, that is brutal.
You know, that's the Dean Palmer injury, Kevin. I know, yeah, he had he was in week 5, he fractured his leg last year,
yeah,
and then he was unable to make it through that season. Old Dean Palmer injury, where your bicep tears.
Yep.
And then rolls up like a blind.
I remember.
We interviewed him.
We did, and he talked about that. It was one of those where we have to ask him about it.
Sure.
And he talked about it.
Let's talk about Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon will once again be doing their kid-friendly broadcasts, including another wild card playoff game. Now, this is not an exclusive broadcast, so you don't have to only watch the wild card game.
Great, now I got
to
sign up for the Nickelodeon
app. But I do think it's cool that they seem to be making this effort for kids, and it's gotten pretty good ratings for them.
Oh, it has?
Yeah, it really has.
I've turned it on. My kids still don't care about it. They're not interested because they're just not interested in football. I don't know what I've done wrong, but that's just the way
any
that it
of
is.
Them.
Well, I will say this: Carter is going to play football this year, so maybe he'll finally be more interested in it. He said coach gave a really inspiring speech and I want to play football instead of soccer now. All right, buddy.
Wait till that ass hits the ground one time really.
I don't know, man. I loved that. I had a great time when playing out there. It was a lot of fun, but it wears you out, man. It definitely wears you out.
You're a lot bigger than your son.
He is the size I was then.
Okay.
So he's going to end up being my height and size. So he's got work to do. Avery, on the other hand.
My 14-year-old, I was watching the game the other night, the preseason game.
Yeah.
And I was like, this isn't interesting to you at all. He's like, no. He's like, basketball's the most fun sport to watch on TV.
Okay.
And he's just like this. He just sees no fun in watching football.
Interesting. The KNC Masterpiece Wire here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's talk a little bit more Rangers Red Sox, plus storylines for the rest of the MLB season. Next on The Fan.